If scary movies give you dread, keep you up late night in bed, here's a podcast that will help you ease your mind. We'll explain the plot real nicely, then we'll talk about what's frightening so you never have to have a spooky time. It's Ruined.
Hello, welcome to Ruined. I'm Hallie.
And I'm Allison.
And this is a podcast. We ruin a horror movie just for you.
Just for all of you. Hallie, I have to ask, even though I've seen you twice in 2 days, how are you?
I'm good. I'm in New York. We just did the live show. I have this sickening setup because I'm at my friend Taylor's house. He is also a professional podcaster. Shout out to, he works on, there's a lot of spaces that I'm unfamiliar with on the internet, and that includes other kinds of comedy. Oh my God.
Yes.
I've never, here's the problem is like using someone's computer when they actually do computers.
Oh yeah. No, my computer, it has to, like, I basically have like a Fisher Price setup over here.
I want to be taken to the woods. I would like to become, you know, sort of, I would like to be put out of my misery whenever I have to do something like this. Oh, yeah. He works on, there's sort of a D&D game space.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Whole world of that.
Exactly. And he works within that gaming podcast, D&D podcasting. So shout out to him. He also has a vertical mouse, which I've never seen, which is this.
I don't know what that means.
Hang on. It's vertical. It's a mouse.
Oh.
Anyways, kill me. I'm fine. I'm having it's not nostalgia. I'm having sort of mixed feelings about being in New York, but I'm trying to just sit with them and sort of analyze my feelings. Because I feel like when I was here, I was one, closeted, two, didn't know I had ADHD, and three, just drunk all the time and miserable, which is kind of what doing comedy was for me in my 20s.
Yeah.
So it's nice to be back, but it's almost like I have this weird distance from myself that's unsettling. It is a sort of a horror movie feeling.
Well, it's like, you know, a lot has changed for you and within you since you've lived here. So it's like visiting the home of a different person.
Yeah. Like, it's like I'm visiting a home that I know on some level I've lived at, but I don't remember it at all, which is weird. But fine. And it's been really lovely to see everybody who still lives in New York.
Yeah, we've had so much fun.
Yeah. How are you doing, Allison?
Oh, I'm good. Not a ton happening. I don't know. It's because I've been like seeing you a bunch, so I don't have any like news in general.
Well, thank you to everyone too. I'm gonna put a lip on because I'm insane and I'm looking at my face.
But yes, thank you to everybody. I know that you're listening to this probably in mid-October, and it's fully a month after we possibly saw you in person, but thank you for coming to the live show.
What a blast. You are also incredibly kind. So incredibly exactly who I think our listeners are.
Yes,
and just
yes.
Total sweetie pies.
Yes, the nicest, the kindest, truly a wonderful audience to get to perform for live. Because, like, you know, we've only done that once before. We had no idea kind of what we were getting into and how it'll go. So hopefully more of those, maybe coming to L.A. at some point.
I really want to. I feel like it's time. We've done two New Yorks.
I think the next step is doing an L.A. one. We've done two New Yorks and then hopefully venturing out to some other cities or something maybe next year. So we'll do our best to make that work. And in the meantime, you'll always have this right here plugged into your ears at all times.
And we have made a commitment. We made it yesterday that we will get new merch. We owe
We're
it to you.
Prioritizing merch.
It's insane that we haven't had any.
Yes.
We apologize and we are committing. We're making a vow that we are getting new merch.
Like, it's not like everybody has to constantly be, like, developing new merch, but the fact that we have said so often that we are going to do new merch and then we continue every month to show up at the live show being like, there is not new merch here, we really...
it's embarrassing. It's humiliating.
We need to deliver on a promise that we've made again and again and again, which is that we'll have some fun new merch, new looking stuff, you know, some different vibes for those of you who are eager for more merch or who just want something that is not available.
Exactly. And speaking of new, let's get into it. We have a new month for you. It is the month of shapes.
Is this? No, we did one already.
But new, still new in a sense for the early first half of it.
This is probably week two. Our fabulous theme that is
Shapes.
Shapes.
We're doing Shapes Month. The shape of horror, the shape of all that terrifies us. And this week we are doing the movie Circle from 2015. And
I think the existence of this movie, like knowing that this existed and knowing that like I already knew Cube and we had done Triangle, I think that was like what first, it was like a year ago that we were like, we should do Shapes or something like that. Like Shapes.
Yeah, I don't know why we didn't then, but I will say it has been an interesting challenge, but that of the movies that we have done so far and will probably do, it has trended towards a trap-like scenario. So it's like inadvertently we have continued with trap theme, including with this month or this week's, because it's simply, it's an inescapable riddle that you've been forced into in the shape, much like Cube was.
Yes.
So, but I've really been enjoying them.
Yeah, and before we even talk about the movie, I just, you know, because we're doing Shapes, and Sabrina called this a Sesame Street-ass podcast.
It is.
Hallie, what are some of your favorite circles?
Donut favorite circle.
Donut. Yeah, it's like, also, I go immediately to food when I think of what shapes.
Again, we
I
have
like.
The minds of dogs, and so when you said that, but also I have been truly...
Yes.
You know you're having a good vacation when you've had diarrhea multiple times? Because I have not had a donut yet, but I've had so many things that are basically a donut, and I'm loving it. And so a donut is top of mind.
Yeah, you gotta stop at Peter Pan before you go.
I don't like Peter Pan. I'm sorry. I know it's controversial.
Really?
No, they're too sweet.
Oh, wow.
I did go to Radio Bakery in Greenpoint.
Yes.
Excellent. Incredible.
It's so good.
Get the stone fruit and custard croissant.
Ooh. Oh, my God.
What about you? What's your favorite circle?
A pizza as a whole.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Like a pizza pie, which we had yesterday and really was delightful. But I was trying to think of like what non-food circles I like. And I think necklace.
Necklace is good. I was going to say the sun. I feel like the sun.
Oh, the sun is great.
We needed to live. All of living entities rely on it in some sense.
Yeah. The sun is kind of more a sphere.
That's fair. Oh, you mean like a flat? Well, I mean like a donut's not, a donut is a donut shape. It's not a circle.
Right. But it's like, it's the shape of a circle. Like I hope there's a movie called Sphere so we could talk about our favorite spheres.
Right. Cause I was like, technically in this movie, they're not circles per se, they're rings.
Right.
But I think one would argue that the shape is still a circle.
The shape is a circle.
So you're right. The sun is a sphere, but I would argue the shape of the sun is a circle.
For the way we perceive it. Yes.
And that is what this podcast is. It's about how humans
perceive
reality,
the sun.
And how we will perceive the responsibilities given to us when we are put in terrifying horror movie situations, as people are put in the movie Circle.
Real quick, I used to, when Natasha was at one of her pastry chef and friend of the pod, Natasha Pickowitz was at one of her former jobs. It was a fine dining place, and they did a lot of... like really clean looking desserts in a ring mold. So like a perfect circle. And there was one that was like coconut cream custard with mandarin granita.
Yum.
And it tasted like a creamsicle. But I was like, I don't know what to call this. Like, it's not cake or pie. It's not a cookie. It's not put. I was just like, this is my, I was always like, I want to get my favorite circle. Can I have my favorite circle? Because I was just like a perfect circle of deliciousness. But
yeah, what would you call that? I guess if Natasha doesn't have a title, then there's no title.
Yeah, I think it's like the description was just like, or like it was just on the menu, like the description of what it is. Like there, it wasn't like called something. So I was just like, can I get my favorite circle? So shout out to my favorite circle. I hope one day I get to eat another version of it somewhere.
That sounds incredibly delicious.
It was so good. Hey guys, it's Allison just popping in for a little live show ad and wanted to tell you that we're ruining The Substance. We're doing an in-person at Dynasty Typewriter in Los Angeles. We're doing The Substance in LA. It's maybe the most perfect fit of all time. So if you want to come see us do a live Ruined, come Saturday, October 26th at 4 p.m. Pacific, 7 p.m. Eastern, because this is also streaming. If you don't live in LA, you can join us online at www.dynastytypewriter.com where you can get tickets. And there's tons more info on Instagram and Patreon. So we really hope to see you on the West Coast. And if not, we'll see you digitally through our screens. Bye.
With that in mind, let us go now to something that is significantly less delicious. And that, of course, is the conceit of this week's film, 2015's Circle. We always like to have Allison watch the trailer. Allison, what are your thoughts about the Circle trailer?
Didn't care for it. Mm-hmm. I also love, I'm interested to see how it all plays out because it's a lot of why are they doing this? Who are they? Like, I'm curious if we find out who they are. Mm-hmm. And also I very funny to see very just central casting, just a different, all the different types of people.
Loved it. It's very 90s, very 101.
Man, yes. Alt woman, construction worker. It was just I was oh, this is amazing.
Yeah, there's army guy. Cancer lady. Yeah, sure. It's quite a, it's quite a tale. I would say it was kind of difficult to recap because they're not, most of them are not given names in the film. Yeah. And then also, I wasn't keeping track of race when people were talking, and then race comes into play.
Oh, damn.
Which makes sense. I mean, but so that I was oh, I see. And so I had to go back and be I have to specify everyone's race as we go through.
Okay.
So I will be doing that.
Okay.
And it is that type of film. So, we always like to take a baseline scary. Allison, how scary do you find the concept of deciding who will live and who will die?
Very scary. I don't want that responsibility. I don't want, that is not for us to decide.
Absolutely.
That is absolutely nothing, that no one
definitely
should have
not
that
us
ability.
Two.
Well, certainly not the two of us. Though, actually, you know what?
Actually, you're right.
I think in the scheme of human beings and how they behave in the world, I might put you and I near the top of who decided that, because we'd be everybody gets to live. We're not
right,
doing
exactly.
this.
So, I think the only way to approach this is nobody's going to get killed. Yeah. And then if we all get killed, this is similar to the Belko experiment, which we did last month, where it's once you start hemming and hawing and deciding who gets to live, well, things really devolve from there.
Yes.
Of course, they devolve in the Circle as well. And then Allison, now I will specify this because I think, I got a tattoo while I was in town. It's plastic vampire fangs. That's
it's
the
so
second
good.
Skin coming off, but
yeah,
I guess I could pull it off now. No, I'll do
I always
later.
Have an allergic reaction to the second skin.
Oh, interesting. I wonder, are you allergic to latex?
I'm not.
Oh,
but there must be something in the, sometimes different glues cause issues for me.
So there is a twist, but the twist is sort of within, it is not going to be
big plot twist to the end of the movie, but there is a twist.
Now you will find out what this is.
Okay.
But the twist the twist exists within the dynamic and the exploration of this decision-making process. There's a twist within that rather than, the reveal of what's going on, which we do get in this movie.
Okay.
Would you like to guess the twist?
Guess the twist.
Okay, I'm going to guess that the twist is that there's been one person deciding and that they have a personal connection to the people who have died.
Great.
Picking people to die intentionally with because they know maybe they wouldn't know oh, I know you. We know each other. But a third degree of oh, you're my friend's ex, and I know you're bad, that kind of stuff. Your business put somebody else's business out of business. Oh, God. So I hate you,
so you
even though we haven't met.
You deserve to die. Yes. Great. Excellent. And then do you want to guess also the larger conceit? What is controlling the Circle? Who has created the Circle? What is the plan?
I'm going to guess it's a government testing type thing.
Great.
Where they're trying to, test a new technology, and they're using people for it.
Great. And I do feel for these kinds of movies, it's aliens, the government, insane billionaires.
We
will have to do Blink twice at some point. I did see that and I enjoyed it. So
I really want to know about that one. So
great.
We'll see what themes are coming down the pike. And
I guess it's we pick that. I was how will we do it? I'm we'll just decide. We'll shoehorn it in. Yeah. Maybe it's Blink. Maybe it could be parts, actions of the body or something. Swallow.
We're getting so,
Blink.
Granular. Our themes are getting so...
I'm enjoying it.
Esoteric.
which is pretty silly for us.
Yes.
Let us begin ruining 2015's Circle. Allison, we open in a darkened room, and we see two concentric circles of 25 people in each circle standing around what looks sort of like a glossy glass dome. Imagine sort of a 4-foot tall glass black dome. Perhaps there's ice cream in it, but most likely it's not.
Okay, it's, would it's love some if sort there screen. Was ice cream in it. But then I'd be stressed out about it melting.
Exactly. And that is going to be stressful already when you have to start deciding who lives and dies. Everyone is staying there, and slowly they start to wake up. They're asleep on their feet, and a woman jolts awake, starts calling out, hello? No one's replying. Terrifying. We see sort of like an aerial view, and we see that within the concentric circles on the floor, there are basically different arrows. So imagine a clock face, but divided up like a pizza. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Right. Got it.
So there's arrows pointing on the inner circle all around at the different people, as you can probably imagine where we're headed with this. It's very Twin Peaks. It's very sci-fi. It's like red lights, black metal. Another person wakes up, gasps, and the woman's sort of panicking. We see a man with sort of a swoopy bang say, shh, stop, do not move. They can see us.
It's not good.
Allison, I was going to say, who do you think we are? You already answered that. I wrote, it's either aliens or Jigsaw or alien Jigsaw. Because we always pretend Jigsaw. That aliens are rational. Why would we think that? They could absolutely be Jigsaw.
Right. So, right. Yeah. They're not like, oh, we're here for research. They might be like, we just love chaos.
Right. It could be like, oh, it's the aliens Elon Musk who's like wants to run some experiments. Like the most irrational alien that the other aliens don't agree with. The redhead, the woman who woke up is a redhead, and she says to the swoopy banged man, where are we? He says, I don't know.
Yeah.
And she says, what is this? And he's like, what do you think? Which I was like, that's good. Nobody knows what the fuck's going on. Yeah, nobody has any information.
That sets the tone of like, got it.
Another one wakes up and screams, oh my God. Again, the only rational explanation. Allison, we look down. They're all standing on a circle. So like a circular red light. Mm-hmm. The woman who screams, oh my God, she makes a terrible mistake. Mm. She steps backwards off her circle. Mm. She is essentially electrocuted and killed instantly. So we now know you physically cannot move your out of your circle. Yeah. And I'm like, well, I'm going to be peeing and pooping out of this circle then.
Yeah, yeah. That's a toilet now.
Yeah, everyone is a circular standing toilet on the ground. And then again, everyone starts to wake up. And the lights in the room finally come on. Again, another man panics. He steps off his circle, electrocuted, dead. A cop wakes up, and he immediately reaches for his gun. I'm like, so you can shoot the circle? Good idea.
Yeah, shoot the circle.
Obviously, it's been removed from his holster. It's been taken. The guy with the bangs, who apparently was just the first one up, so he's like starting to figure it out. He's like, everyone, don't move. Don't get off your circle. Just stay motionless. And again, we see this the sort of black dome, which itself is surrounded by a black metal ring, and it ripples. So it's sort of like it's a computer screen or some alien-looking computer screen is rippling in front of them.
Oh, God.
And then we hear what sounds like a countdown. And it sounds like, remember like the TiVo sound where it go like bonk, bonk?
Yes.
So it's that. So we're just hearing bonks. Bonks. And of course, they have no idea what it is. So like, what is the...
What are these bonks? Where are we?
Yeah, but it's counting down or counting up to something. And we see the man who was just killed, his body, his arm jerks up and a ring appears on it, sort of like in fire.
No.
And then he is dragged by an unseen presence out of the circle into the darkness behind them. So as far as
I can
tell,
like on his palm or a ring, like something is around his wrist pulling him.
A ring on his palm. Okay. So basically it looks like a zero in fire or an O in fire appears on his palm, the ring, the circle. And he is dragged by an unseen entity. Like an invisible force drags his corpse out of the circle. And that I think is probably just production. That's just easier to do. You know what I mean? They could go home for the day. As you can imagine, when this happens, everyone fucking freaks out.
Yeah.
So everyone's crying, screaming, trying to talk to one another, panic. And we're already down to 48. So two people have just died within the 2 minutes that we've been cognizant.
They're moving.
We see Bangs and now the redheaded woman are explained to everyone because they were first up. They're like, don't move. Do not lift your feet. And then we see the redheaded woman has tried to tap someone on the shoulder. And it also gave her a bonk. Sound. And so they know you cannot touch anyone else. So everyone has to stand perfectly motionless on their circle. So a couple minutes pass, we hear the countdown again, the bonk, bonk, and Bangs, again, he's trying to, and I think this is natural, like, just somebody has to be in charge. Like, Bangs is like, okay, everyone, let's calm down, let's think about what's going on. Ellison, he is electrocuted and falls to the ground dead.
Oh, boy.
Everyone's screaming, everyone's panicking. Again, I'm peeing a poop it if I'm there.
Yeah, peeing, pooping.
When, as they're talking, we see that the sort of, like, pizza slices on the ground start lighting up white.
Okay.
And we're not sure why yet. But as they talk, they're gesticulating. We see the red triangles of light turn white.
Like one turns white and stays white, or it's like flashing white, or it's like when you do something, it's white, and when you stop, it's not. Like, what's the kind of...
All of those are questions that I will answer now.
Okay, great.
Basically, one little pizza square turns white. It is not blinking. And it stays white for the duration of the round. Because unfortunately,
it's a game.
We are going to be entering a game.
No.
But as they're talking, they sort of realize that you control which segment lights up. Basically, okay. If you close your hand pointing at a certain segment on the ground, it lights up white. They don't know what this means yet.
Right.
But they've noticed, and what they realize is they can only see their own light up square. So if you were to close your hand, pick one of the triangles, I can't see which one you picked.
Okay.
Does that make sense? You can only see the one that you have closed your fist on.
Okay.
And of course, there's two rings of, again, this is like the funniest movie to try to recap.
Yeah, it's like
just trying to describe like concentric circles of light triangles that will play. But in a minute, you'll figure out.
We'll know what's going on. I think it'll work itself out.
But yeah, there's an Asian guy with a backwards hat who realizes it. And he's like, look, if you close your fist, it lights up. But again, they don't know what it is. They're all like closing their hands like, wow, that's crazy. What's going on? Allison, another woman is zapped. Her body hits the ground, dead.
When the bodies hit the floor.
Much like your favorite song, Bodies. The backwards hat says, I realized what was happening. We've been killing these people inadvertently. Because they were all sort of like, is somebody just electrocuting people out of hand? He's like, no, we're inadvertently voting on who dies.
How?
So all the people... just accidentally, they're just closing their hands on certain segments. So now that they're cognizant, they realize... every time we hear the countdown, it kills someone, and then it resets. So someone hits the ground, and then in the next 2 minutes, if you essentially close your fist pointing at a certain segment, it picks the person it corresponds to. So if I close my fist at the triangle facing you, it will pick you to die.
Oy.
This happens every 2 minutes.
That's
so quick.
Not enough time to like get your head around like, okay, what do I do with this? How do I not? Yeah.
Exactly. Especially because I believe it's why 4 people have already died.
Jesus.
So everyone's panicking. But again, at least they know.
Yeah.
So like backwards hat guy says, everyone knows. Allison, there is a child, I would say like 8 to 10, and a pregnant woman there. And that's when I'm like, oh no. Because if it's all adults, it's like, this sucks, but also it's Belko experiment.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
It's like
they're all at work, you know, it's working adults. It's not.
Yes.
Yeah.
Versus this child who has been forced into the situation and doesn't even have the cognizant wherewithal to make these kind of horrific decisions, is being asked to do it and then also could be killed. And then also a pregnant woman, you know, not that anyone was wanted to be here.
Right.
Again, we hear the countdown bonks, another man is zapped dead. Allison, again, another woman dies. So they start arguing about what should we do. So this is an impossible situation. So the question is, should they engage with the voting?
Right.
Or should they not? What is the premise? Like, what are they being asked to do here? The pregnant woman who is like, listen, if we don't close our hands, maybe it won't count. Like, maybe we don't vote at all. And another woman says, what if we vote for the woman who just died? So let's all vote for her again.
Okay.
If we're voting for the same triangle, maybe it'll just won't work.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, there's immediately a contingent of, much like the Belko experiment, of naysayers, people who are hostile and don't want to work with each other.
Yes.
I'm like, you've only been there 12 minutes and you've had
at least
fucking
give
six
it a
people die.
For one round.
For God's sakes, talk to each other. And it's this blonde, like white, kind of sinister guy. He's like, that's not going to work. And when I hear that, I was like, do you know that because you invented this? Do you work for the government? Like, how do you know that it's not going to work? Because I at least heard that. I'm like, well, it's worth
a
shot.
Let's try it for one round. If they're going to kill somebody, they're going to kill somebody. Like, it doesn't feel like.
Right. Let's give it a go. You woke up 45 seconds ago. Maybe don't mansplain how the circle works when you don't know either. And basically the group's like, hey, idiot, we have to try something. So we're all going to vote for the last woman who died. So they all close their fist. They run down 2 minutes. And unfortunately, the guy next to her spot dies.
Oh, no.
And so they're like, why did he die? And they realize, okay, so maybe because people were pointing wrong, he got the second most votes. So it's like, it will just choose. Yes. It will not let you not kill someone, essentially.
Aye.
Someone will die. And this is where it becomes difficult, where it's like, well, this is kind of an unwinnable situation.
Right. like, unless you can, like, find the person who made this and, do, like, unless yeah. they, I don't know. There's not a lot of outs.
Exactly. And the blonde guy says, yeah, I was right. We're all screwed. So this time they say, okay, we're going to go with the first suggestion. No one vote for anything. Everyone keep both your hands open. Yeah. So keep your hands open. Nobody's voting. Unfortunately, the man right behind the pregnant woman dies anyways. Again, you can't not vote. We see a younger man in a blue sweatshirt step up. And he's like, look, okay. And again, people keep trying to like become the leader throughout the film. He's like,
maybe if we spend less time worrying about who's going to die next and more time trying to figure this thing out, we'll get somewhere and be able to stop this.
And I was like, that's what you shouted out everyone to say? Like, you need to add, yes,
yeah,
and.
Right?
We it's already like, know,
we
that,
know
part.
That part. That's understood.
Yeah. And we see a black woman in a blazer, like a businesswoman, say, okay, well, so what do you suggest?
Yes.
Add to it. And he says, and again, this is you kind of knew it was going to go to this first. He says, well, around the circle, I see 5 or 6 people in their 70s or 80s. If this is a vote, I say they go first. That'll buy us some time. And they cut to like an elderly man with white hair. He goes, what? Which I thought, again.
That's fun.
And it's all, like we said, central casting. So it's all like great. I love character actors. I love where it's like the cop, the army guy,
yes.
the lady who's bald because she has chemo, the pregnant lady. I want these people to be getting a paycheck.
Yes.
They're all great.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They're just normal people. Allison, how do you feel about this? Because I, on some level, kind of agree with it. In as much as, like, I'm 40, I would volunteer to go before a teenager just because I do feel like, nah, it's not been great the whole time, but I did have a lot more life.
Yeah.
And I got to enjoy life versus someone who was a lot younger. And if I was 70 or 80 and it did help, I personally would be like, I guess that's okay. I don't like it. But if that's what we're going to have to do, I'm kind of on board with it.
If that's kind of like the consensus with a lot of people, I would kind of roll with it.
It kind of reminded me, remember there's a tsunami and then a bunch of like elderly people in Japan basically were volunteering to help with like the nuclear reactor that they were like,
wow.
They needed volunteers because I think they sense they're like, well, I'm going to die
on the sooner side than the average person anyway, likely. So, yeah.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I feel like that is the moral right way to live in society, is that, like, to understand that we all have to be helping each other.
Yes.
This particular situation, it kind of seems a little more arbitrary at this point.
This is a chaos outside of regular life that is almost impossible to imagine. But, yeah, if I was 70 and we were trying to make rules, I'd be like, yeah, I guess.
And just knowing me, I'd be like, yeah, let me get the fuck out of here. I'm not doing this.
Do we know that these people are dead?
They look dead, but I guess to your point, we don't know.
Like,
because they're pretty quickly swept away.
That's the thing, is like they're gone.
You're right.
And I'm like, what if they're just like tased
into
unconsciousness and pulled off and they're actually like waiting somewhere and this is all
absolutely.
A game, you know, that isn't
some sort
a life
of experiment.
And death thing. So then I would be like, you know, there's a chance that it's that and you know, I'll take that chance if I'm older.
That being said, it does look like they are electrocuted pretty badly and they hit the ground as if they're corpses.
Okay, great.
But I think you're right. Like, it's not like someone's examining them. It's not like they're like being checked by a
No
heart,
one knows how the
heartbeat.
Hell they got here or like what's going on.
No one knows where
like,
we are.
There is a
exactly.
shot.
Yes. Versus, say, in the Belko experiment where it's like, well, you know those people are dead.
Yeah, they're like stabbed.
You know, but
like,
they're dead. Exactly. So then they start the conversation is sort of like backwards hat because he's on the younger side. He's like, well, I think that makes sense. Like if we're younger, like we should, you know, they're the closest to dying in real life. So like they should get to do it. And there's a woman I'm going to call the ethical brunette.
Okay.
And she from the jump is like, I'm not doing this. I'm not whatever. And she's like, they would die of natural causes, not us choosing to kill them. That's a different situation.
Correct.
And again, much like the Belko experiment, unfortunately, the answer is you just can't vote. You can't vote because once we get into the weeds, then you just end up having these conversations while people are dying every 2 minutes anyways.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
So it's sort of like none of this is ethical.
Right. Right. Yeah. It's like ethics kind of went out the door with
and
the
also
first
it's like,
dead
if it's
body.
A government, yeah, if it's like a government experiment, if it's an alien experiment, or if it's for some sick bastard like Elon Musk, like,
yeah.
I mean, sexual pleasure, I'm assuming if you're a billionaire, I don't know what the fuck you're getting up to, but it's not good. Like, it's like, I would rather fuck up their data or their pleasure
yes.
by refusing to engage.
Absolutely.
You're not going to test me. You're not going to, like, find out information about the human species from me. Nope. Fuck you. Nope. Or I guess you find out the information that some of us are going to refuse to be a part of this. The young man then points to, like, the older man who is surprised and says, let's do him first. And so now they're like, okay, we're all going to try to collectively decide to do it. And so that becomes a question is it, like, people who do not want to get on board with one person to single out and the side that says we have to just start singling people out because then we have to buy time to figure out what's going on.
That is an impossible moral dilemma.
Exactly. The older man is like, I have as much, right as to live as anyone else. And the younger man says, but you've lived your life, old man. And I was like, okay, we don't have to like insult him.
Like he might be dead next. So like, just let him say his piece.
Yes, be kind to him in his last 2 minutes of life. And then he's like, okay, we'll start him and then we'll just go around clockwise of all the elderly people. And we just see like these grandmas and grandpas like, I'm next, I'm third, you know. Unfortunately, the countdown starts again. And so people vote, the old man screams, and the little girl's right next to him. And she's just sobbing because this is all horrifying.
Yeah.
When the countdown ends, the old man is killed.
Okay.
He is zapped, hits the ground, and his body is dragged away. The young man turns to the circle who's all like crying and distressed. He's like, I know that was hard. And the next to him is an Asian woman who we find out, I don't know if she lives in Glendale, but she mentions being in Glendale.
Oh, sure.
So the Asian woman from Glendale,
yeah.
The younger man says, I know that was hard. She's like, shut up. If the whole point was doing this is that we have 2 minutes each time to discuss what to do.
Yep.
We can't rehash it. Keep it moving. So like, okay, so what could we possibly do? And they're all looking around. There's a cop, you know, we see a bunch of different people and they all notice there's an army man. So they're immediately like, is this a military experiment?
Yes.
Are you part of it? Are you here? Do you have any information? Of course, he has no idea.
He's like, I'm here with you. I don't know what's happening.
He's like, I'm in the murder circle. I'm not in charge of this. You know, and backwards hat guy's like, I knew it. This is an alien invasion and you're the military. You should know about this. Again, the army man's like, they're not telling every infantry member about the aliens. If it is aliens, like, they're not telling me. I don't have that kind of clearance, you know?
Right.
And they all try to then go around and remember, where were you when you were kidnapped? And it sounds like they're all from the L.A. area. And again, this the Asian woman's like, I was in Glendale. And then we see a guy in black who's dressed, like, all in black. Not intimidatingly so. It's just, like, a way to identify him.
Okay.
Just a white man in black. He's like, you know, I was on the highway. And I stopped my car because we had so much traffic trying to get out of the city. And then we got out of the car and we tried to run. And the last thing I remember is that I'm here.
What?
And they don't say what that was, but obviously there's some sort of like catastrophe happening in the city.
Okay.
But nobody specifies or says out loud
like,
what it was.
Yeah, a fire, an explosion, a flood, or. I mean,
people are like, you're right, I was on the highway too. I also had to run. But they don't remember, like, they don't have enough context to, like, draw anything from that.
Yeah.
They're just like, I also was on the freeway. I also tried to get out. The drum beat starts up again. Mm-hmm. Time to vote. Again, they kind of already discussed the elderly people dying. And we see this little tiny grandma look around beseechingly.
Aww.
Everyone closes their fist. The grandma dies.
I think I would wave, like, if I were her.
Wave goodbye.
Yeah, be like, bye.
I do like having like a cunty little line
yeah.
that like sends you out.
Like waving and saying, fuck you, or see you
I like
in hell.
That. Yeah, an exit line. I like that a lot. They all start was musing like, are we in an alien ship right now? Are there other people doing this at different military sites? How widespread is it just us? Like, were we all kidnapped, like, to be put into this experiment? And the man in black, he's trained, he's like, I was brought to a small room. I remember smelling gas, but like, I don't know what, again, like he's trying to like recall anything. The countdown begins again, Allison. And the next elderly guy goes, yeah, me too. I actually remember a lot of stuff. I remember being in a red room. And that guy was there, the man in black. And, I saw the aliens and they were big. And they were like, I don't know if they were black or they're dark green, but they were all wet. And they're all like, you're just lying, old
yeah,
man.
So
like,
that
you're just like trying to escape.
You have some reason to like stay because you have information that we need, which you don't.
Right. And also it's like, I get it. I probably would.
Yeah.
It's like, I saw them. They told me a bunch of stuff, but I can't tell you right now. So you got to keep me alive. You got to go to the next old man. And then he says, oh, I think they were speaking in Chinese or maybe Japanese. And I'm like, oh, you overplayed your hand,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, that's a bridge too far.
Yeah, like the backwards hat guy who again is Asian and there's like a tattooed, I'm presuming Mexican-American guy are like, yeah, come on, you were speaking Japanese. Give me a break, dude. And they're all like, obviously you're making it up so we don't kill you next. And he's like, no, I really do know. and he's talking to the man in black, and he's like, "You tell him you saw me in the room." And the man in black like lowers his head. He's like, "I didn't see it." The old man dies. Up next, they have a conversation where like there's a woman. They're like, "How old are you?" And she says, "I'm 52." And they're like, "Okay, you're next." And everyone's like, "52 is not
yeah,
old.
Let's,
She's
yeah,
not elderly."
That's now we're just in regular terror. If everybody who's like 70 and up is off the table, like now we're like it's not just that's not
right.
an old person.
But I will say she only I think they clocked her as like older because she's wearing like an old lady
sure.
hat. And somebody's like, I think you're older than that. Like the backwards hat guy's like, no, I don't think you're 52. You look so old. And I think it was the hat style. And then also she says, I look this way because I just went through chemo. So then they're like, oh, great. Well, we could kill you because you're dying anyways. The younger man with the blue shirt says, great, perfect. You're old and sick, like I said. She says, no, I actually just finished chemo. I'm recovering and I'm actually doing really well. So I am stronger than ever. So it's the opposite.
Yeah. She's like, I have a second chance on life.
Yeah, I'm in remission. And they're sort of arguing, and there's kind of a revolt where everyone's sort of arguing about, like, the ethics of if she's healing versus, like, if she's sick, how old she is. Is 52 old? For some people, obviously. The problem is, like, the younger man, by sort of ginning this up, has also now made himself a target. So, like, when you become a leader within the group, they're like, yeah, well, what about you, bitch? Like, what are you offering?
So you get a pass for a little while because you're leading, but then people start to be like, wait a minute.
Yes.
Like, why are you leading?
Wait a minute. Exactly. And the younger man's like, well, look, we had to do something, you know, and he's trying to calm everyone down. And they see an elderly lady say, fuck you. And everyone votes. The younger man dies. So they kill this young man who had made himself the leader. So now we know that that is the threat that you get. If you speak up, that's also a threat, even if you're trying to do, in your mind, the right thing. So they're talking, and the army guy's like, okay, well, let's talk about ourselves. Like, why are we in particular here? Is there a connection between us?
Okay.
Does anyone have any information about this kind of thing? Again, like Cube, like, what do you do? You know, like that kind of thing. So they are start going around. The cancer lady's like, okay, we'll just all talk about our lives, and we'll see if we can pick up some themes. And they go to this woman, Beth, and Beth's like, oh, my God, I live in Woodland Hills, but I was born in Richmond, Virginia. I don't have kids. But my twin has two sons. I was an English major, and I worked in HR for 11 years. And I kind of fell into it. Like, it wasn't my passion.
Just like, really, just like life story.
She's on a first date. Like, it's speed dating or something. It's like, I have a dog named Clutie and two cats named JJ and Ricky.
Allison, JJ and Ricky.
We have the countdown, and she kind of stops. And the cancer lady says, you did a great job. Allison, they all vote, and Beth is killed. So it's like, just by talking, they're like, no, I'm killing this bitch. I don't need to know about HR.
No. What about the pets?
Good luck to Clutie, JJ, and Ricky. Hope somebody's around to feed those. Well, maybe her twin wasn't taken, you know?
Oh, there you go.
And everyone's like, no, it's okay because she didn't have kids. You know, it's fine.
Oh, my God.
Except for the ethical brunettes. Like, that doesn't matter. We can't
that
be doing
matter.
It like this, you know?
Yeah. There's not, like, there it, like, I mean, maybe, and maybe this is, like, a moral that comes out at the end, but it's, like, you really can't, like, start hierarchy.
Yeah.
Like ranking value in human life based on, like, what your particular set of, like, people who are like, oh, you don't have kids, so it's fine if you die. And it's like, no, it's not.
Well, I will say this, and I not that I've thought about this that much, but, like, there is something where it's like, if I was in an emergency situation, I personally would feel more comfortable volunteering for not having kids. Like, if somebody had kids and they needed to be alive to take care of them, I'm fine stepping forward. But that's, like, that's because I would be making that decision.
Yes, right. That's not for other people to decide.
Yeah. So, again, like, it has to be, like, this conversation where people
are... I mean, same with, like, the older people. Like, it's
absolutely.
Like, that kind of does have to be them deciding.
Exactly.
Like, hey,
it makes
sense for me to vote. Because, like, otherwise, like, it's, you know, ageist, ableist, like, all the
things.
And
then
the
we start to, like, get into this, like, zone of, like, what is important, right? For example, this guy Craig speaks up, and he's like, well, my wife is standing next to me, and I will volunteer before she dies. So I don't want my wife to get killed.
Oh.
And they're like, oh, is anyone else related? And we see this, like, middle-aged black man in the back circle says, we know each other, and that we see the black woman in the blazer. And they, at the same time, he goes, we're, and he says, co-workers, and she says, neighbors. And the guy in the backward hat says, oh, you're having an affair. Okay, great.
Yeah, okay,
so we know
it.
That's your lovers.
Copy that.
Okay.
They should both live because I want to watch. Hopefully they survive to have to deal with the fallout of this.
It's so funny. It's like, why wasn't I kidnapped with you? You're my husband. Turns out, anyways. Craig says, basically, you can vote for me, but you know, please don't vote for my wife. We then have a guy who looks exactly like Scott Adams, the creator of Dilbert, yep. who I believe is completely insane now.
He's lost his absolute fucking mind.
Yeah, so he's here, and I'm going to call him Glasses Guy, because he's wearing glasses
If it was
on.
Actually Scott Adams, I'd be like, we're killing this motherfucker. Like,
as far as I know, it might have been him, you know what I mean? Yeah, in a real situation, if you see that, it's like, no, we got to vote for him first.
Yeah.
And he decides, like, he's, again, like, he's going to be the leader. He's going to be the mayor of people, of telling people what they can do. Mm. And he basically picks out a guy who, a Latino-looking man, either, like, from Central or South America, yeah. who does not speak English. He's a Spanish speaker. And he basically, he's, like, middle-aged. So he's, like, salt and pepper beard. And this Scott Adams guy basically points to him and says, you're next. And just decides that we're all going to vote for this guy.
No, that's very Scott Adams of him.
Yes, exactly. And the ethical brunette is right behind the Spanish-speaking guy. And she's like, you can't just decide that. He's like, well, he can't communicate with us, you know, like whatever. And she's able to speak Spanish. So she tells this guy, could you tell us about your family? And he's like, absolutely, in Spanish. And he takes off his hat and he has a picture of his three kids. He's like, I have three kids. Oh. You know, like, I love my family. And puts it back in. And she translates and says, you know, he is, again, a parent. If that's how we're going by, it shouldn't be this guy. And the guy, of course, the Scott Adams guy goes, I bet he's not in this country illegally. And then everyone's like, what does that have to do with anything? We're in some sort of, like, insane CIA experiment.
Like, first of all, is irrelevant when it comes to, like, immigration. I don't give a shit. But, like, also, yeah. like, it went out the door when you all were in the circle. Like, it's like,
right? Yeah,
this, like, is illegal.
But it is, I mean, it is interesting. We kind of get into, like the ethics of, like what is a crime? And it's, yes. like, in this situation, like, it's never a crime to be illegal or undocumented. Like, that is not a, like, moral failing.
Right.
But that is how we talk about it if you're conservative, if you're Scott Adams, is yes. that it is a moral failing to have... to be undocumented in a country when in reality you're here out of pure necessity, and we know that he has kids that he's obviously supporting by being
right.
here.
Right.
So it's like, that's the ethical thing to do, is to try to take care of your children. And I was like, this is basically American politics. It is basically be like, well, that guy's here yes. Illegally, so he's a criminal, so I'm yes. allowed to vote for him to die. That's like how yes. we talk about yes. things.
This is the right in this country.
Allison, the countdown begins. And the room is split. Are we doing it? Does being undocumented mean you should be chosen to die next? They all vote. Allison, it's actually the person who gets zapped and killed is the Asian woman who said she was in Glendale, who was no part of this conversation. She just sort of, like, arbitrarily. So I think there's still enough people that, like, if four people vote for you just arbitrarily, you get killed. Does
and
that
so,
make
like,
sense?
Are people voting every 2 minutes? Like, are they making fists and, like, okay.
Well,
so
we don't
just...
know exactly yet, but we definitely see most people are voting. So that's a good question.
Okay.
Are people abstaining? There's still so many people, it's hard to, like, really pay attention.
Yeah, we don't know yet.
But yes, most people, we see them close the fist, they're voting. And again, I think that's to your point, just don't vote. I mean, you can't vote. The cop then turns on the guy with tattoos who... it looks Latino. It was like, I know you. You're Raul Jimenez. You're a mechanic in North Hollywood. And Raul's like, I don't know this guy. I am not that person.
Yeah.
And he's like, no, I remember you beat your girlfriend up. And the pregnant woman says, let's not trade in stereotypes.
Yes.
As she's saying that, Raul Jimenez says, that bitch deserved it. I was like, well,
oh,
Raul, this is on you. And obviously he's zapped next. He's
well,
Raul.
That's, I'm, you know.
He blew it. Sorry, Raul.
Fine with that.
We then see a woman in, like, with huge knockers in, like, a kind of blazer. It's 2015, so I think we were kind of past this.
Okay.
But it was, like, a skin-tight khaki short-sleeve blazer with, like, a
yes.
ton of cleavage.
Yes.
And she's blonde. It was just sort of, like, a look that if it ever comes back, I would be truly shocked. Like, it was, like, there's, like, 4 months.
I know
months.
Yes. Where, like, the, like, everything kind of, like, all the business casual clothing started to look like it was, like costumes in porn?
Well, and I think this is, I read this thing about it, basically, like, after the housing collapse, people were not really buying going out clothes as much.
Yes.
So that's why we kind of were all like, we looked like we were in business casual in the
club.
Yeah, everybody's
in a pencil skirt at the club.
And
yeah.
I was too. I was in a blazer at the
yeah.
club. And so
oh
you go
God,
to Loft
course.
And was like, okay, great, I'll just take my blazer off when I get to the club. So it looks like that where it's like, yeah, look, your titties are out, but it's still a blazer. So if you had
yeah.
something like underneath and you could take it off with a tank top, but it's still you in a short sleeve khaki skin tight blazer.
Yeah, a wild look.
Yeah, and it absolutely is a porn look. And so again, like, boop, 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 boop. Oh, yeah, so the woman in the skin tight khaki blazer says, well, maybe that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to, like, if this guy beat up his girlfriend, maybe we're supposed to find out who's good or who's bad, which again, that's what we do in every situation.
Yeah.
So you know it's going to go off the rails pretty quickly. Some people, the ethical brunette, are protesting. The chemo lady doesn't really like this. But everyone's kind of on board because they don't know what else to do. And so basically it's like, if you look at your life in total, are you a good person or a bad person? And the blonde guy who's kind of like being like, there's no point. He's like, oh, I'm glad we're going to be using our time to debate every little thing. And it's like, well, yeah, like what else are we going to do? I don't. There's no other scenario that's been presented. Allison, the clock counts down again. Next person dies. It's the only woman in a hijab who has said nothing.
Great. Amazing.
So again, it does feel, it's like, okay, so...
Okay, so Americans are in charge of this, clearly.
Yeah, so it's like, we're just, now we're just targeting people of color at a certain point. There's like four or five black people left, and one of this black guy in a blue shirt says, I have an idea how we kill all the black people next. And everyone's like, whoa, don't bring race into this. He's like, take a look at the people who have died. Yeah. They are, for the most part, people of color, and you have, there aren't that many black people, and you've already, you know, like, we've kind of run down the line, you know? And everyone's like, don't bring race into this. You know, like the real racists are people who bring racists are people who bring up racism, like that kind of shit where it's like, okay. And meanwhile, the black couple that's having the affair are like, shut up. You are drawing attention to yourself. You're going to fuck this up. Like if you're trying to, it's a sound argument, not in this scenario because they can still vote, you know, like racism unfortunately exists in this space.
Right.
And so the black woman says like, you know, are you going to make yourself a target? Then we get this businessman who, in my mind, is like the Trump. Like, he has, like, a white shirt, suspenders.
Yes.
Yeah, and he's like, oh, you know, this is so stupid. Like, oh, you're going to bring race into this. You're going to play the race card. And everyone's like, no, calm down. Like, nobody cares about race or whatever. And then the cop goes, yeah, all you people are the same. And everyone's like, all right, okay. Like, it's like, yeah. Like, they're like, race is not a thing. And he's like, yeah, because their race sucks. It's like, okay, yes, you've sort of revealed that he made a good point. And he's like, you're all the same. That's what's wrong with this country. All this socialist bullshit. Like, you people want a handout. Allison, you will not be surprised to hear the countdown begins and the cop is immediately killed. So again, it's like, great. You know, like, if you're going to be a huge racist, you should have played it a little calmer, you know?
Right. I like keep that to yourself for as long as you can, because it's definitely going to result in you dying in this scenario.
Exactly.
As it should.
So the army guy and the ethical brunette kind of like, let's get back on track here. And they say, okay, how about everyone vote for themselves and see if we could do that to force a tie? So if everyone's tied, maybe they can't choose one, right?
Okay.
And they're like, again, they try.
Is everyone going to vote? Yeah.
Yes, exactly. And that's the problem, is you don't know. So you could say that, but we don't know how people actually vote because only they know. Allison, they all decide, they end up voting for the person directly to their right, which to me is even more like once you do that, then people could vote for whoever.
Yeah.
Right. And it zaps a guy in the back ring who dies, a guy we hadn't seen there for the body count. And the blonde says, don't you get it? They thought of everything. Everything we think, it's going to end up with somebody dying. Like, we can't outsmart this system, right? And they're like, no, somebody may have made a mistake. Allison, it was probably the child. Because, like, the pregnant woman has to explain to her what they're doing. She's, like, 8. And be like, so you have to vote for the person directly to your right. So, again, it's not her fault. But she's, like, and she's, like, sobbing and shaking the whole time. And it's like, okay, so you got to vote for this person to kill, okay, sweetie?
Jesus.
And again, so they do it again. And the countdown comes, and suddenly two beams of light. So there's a tie. And it is a random guy and the pregnant woman. And everyone's like, who voted for the pregnant woman? Who's out here voting for this pregnant lady? And because it's a tie, they have to vote again. And they can only vote for one of these two. Obviously, with the full vote, the guy dies, the pregnant woman is spared. But now they're like, wow, so a lot of people were trying to kill the pregnant lady, huh?
Yeah, weird.
And like, they're like, how does this happen? And so we have the ethical side and sort of the... Not that they're less ethical. I think they're just like, they think that there's somehow some way to like choose.
Yes.
Like they think they're going to game the system, which I think the blonde aggressive man is correct. You're not going to, right? And so like, why? How did this happen? They would have had the same number of votes. And the man in black says, well, the second time I voted for the man. And, hang on, I'm explaining it wrong. So basically, they voted again. So they voted on a recount. But when they voted the recount, they all voted for themselves. And so they're like, it's not possible. Nobody's voting for either of them.
Okay.
But the problem with that is...
The man still died?
Wait, say it again.
But the man still died?
The man still died. And they're like, how did that happen? And the man black says, because I voted for him. And they're like, why did you do that? And he's like, because he voted for the pregnant woman. I saw him. And it's true. We see the guy who died. Like, he's the one who voted for the pregnant woman. He's like, fuck it. I'm just going to do it. And what comes out is the reason they voted for the pregnant woman is, like, they think, and they're correct, that she and the little girl will end up being the last two. So everyone else decides because the common sense answer is we cannot kill a child or a pregnant woman.
Right.
That, but at the same time, you don't see each other's votes. So it just takes sort of a few underhanded decisions from a collective group.
Yes.
And so, like, the ethical group's like, we're not doing this. We can't be doing this. Because the argument is, if we kill both of them, or one of them even, then one of the rest of us has a chance of surviving.
Yeah.
This is already where I would just step off the circle and die. I'm not doing this. I'm not killing a kid. I'm not killing a pregnant lady.
I'm done making decisions. Like, just, I'm out.
Yeah. And chemo lady says, like, well, why would he do that? And he's like, let's think about this. You get to the last person. This is a game of elimination. So everyone here will slowly be eliminated.
Eliminated.
And there's also a man in the back row with, like, beautiful log blonde hair. And he says, you're right, only one of us could live. And, you know, the man in black says, the last man standing gets to walk out of here. You know, and that guy thought, okay, it's going to be either the pregnant lady and the little kid.
How do you know that?
Wait, say it again.
Like, how do you know that?
Wait, how do you know which part?
What if it's just everybody dies until...
Oh, exactly. You don't know if anyone's going to survive.
And then they kill you, you're last, and so you have to die. Like,
also,
it might be...
Yes, exactly.
You all just die.
Whoever's running this... And this is, again, we're seeing with the Belko experiment and, like, Cube. It's like, if you really think about it, why would they let anyone survive?
Right.
Even if there was a victor,
right?
They would just tell everybody.
They would just kill you.
Yeah. The long-haired guy says to the group, look, I'm telling you, what we really should do is kill both the girl and the pregnant lady. That means that one of us could potentially survive. Allison, I ask you, at this point of the film, what would you do?
What would you do?
Again, I'm like volunteering to die.
Yeah.
Or I'm stepping off my circle and being like,
back.
I'm dead. Like, that's that. I can't participate in this, like, bizarre game. I don't know how this works. I don't want to, like, choose who's dying and who's living, and I don't want to have to, like, game out who has to kill each other.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not doing this.
I'm
really
not
it's
doing
like
this.
It's only going to be, because it's like 2 minutes, like, let's say they still have, I don't know, 40 people left at the absolute most. It's only going to be a couple hours, you know, and then you're going to be, it's a wrap. So I'm not going to stick around especially because I'm not killing the last two people who should be the last two people anyways.
No.
I said I'd be dead already, or I'd be throwing, I would just be, like, screaming and crying. Like, I wouldn't be coherent at this point. We didn't see this other guy who has one arm, and he's basically arguing like, well, if somebody survives, it should be the girl or the pregnant lady. I think that that's ethical, and I think most people understand that. And then they sort of get this argument on the businessman who, again, he's not Trump because it's 2015, so I don't know.
But it's just kind of like that mentality, like that vibe.
He's like, I'm sorry, it's not women and children's first. What is this, the 18th century? Okay, that doesn't matter. And so I'm like, okay, I would be killing the businessman.
Yeah, let's kill him next.
If you're telling me that you don't give a fuck, then I'm killing you.
Yeah.
You know? The count comes again, and we get an elderly woman and the child. Ugh. Okay?
You mean a tie?
There's a tie. Sorry, yes. So there's a tie. We get two beams of light appear, one over an elderly woman and one over the sobbing child. And the businessman says, nobody vote. So this time, they're not going to vote at all. He's like, we have to see what happens if there's a tie and nobody votes.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know. And they're divided, like, what if it kills both of them? Like, it seems unethical. We should vote for the elderly lady. This time the countdown comes and the elderly lady dies. And the implication is that they voted for her to die. So the child wouldn't survive. It wouldn't die, right? So again, they're still deferring to we have to keep the child and the pregnant lady alive. So, like, on paper, I guess, like, it makes sense, like, the argument they're making that, like, if you stand a chance of living and you're not the lady or the pregnant lady or the child, you have to be willing to kill them.
Yeah.
But I don't, even then I'm like, well, but it's not like you all are going to survive. It would be one, maybe two people maximum. So.
Right.
But anyways, the normal people, which includes the army guy, the ethical brunette, and the chemo lady are like, I'm not doing that. I'm not killing either of them.
Yeah.
You can't make me. And then we get this woman with a pixie cut goes, oh, because this woman's never heard of birth control, she gets to live?
What the fuck?
And I'm a shrill woman myself, but girl, you fucked up.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be, first of all, grow up. Second of all, you drew attention to yourself as a maniac.
Right. Like, it's like the less talking you do, the better.
Yeah, and I'm also like, if racism exists in a space, which it does, sexism does too.
100%.
And it's like, oh, a mouthy bitch
just
said something like that? Also, you are wrong.
You
like,
are
it's
wrong.
Like, she's allowed to be pregnant.
You don't know anything about this woman aside from the fact that she is pregnant, and you have no idea, like, how and why that's where.
Like, it's somehow a failing to be pregnant or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
like,
it doesn't make any sense.
What if that was, like, she has a husband, and they were, like, and even if it was an accident, who gives a shit?
Yeah. The man in black says, look, we all have to collectively make a decision that the girl and the pregnant woman have to be the last two. Like, we just have to accept that that's what's going to happen, and we have to do it now, or else every time this happens, both of them will be in jeopardy. Because yeah. those people on that side are going to constantly yes. be voting for them. And depending on who dies from, like, the ethical side or the non-ethical side, they will be put in peril. So I'm saying, for me, I'm never voting for them. So if it comes to it, I'm not doing it. So it's sort of like, if you want to be on board with that, I'll vote for other people, but I'm not going to vote for them. And so they start like, okay, I totally understand that. And the Scott Adams guy goes, well, we don't even know what kind of kid she is. What is she, some kind of miserable brat?
What the fuck? Okay.
She seemed perfectly fine yeah. crying this entire time.
Yeah, what?
Also, you're a miserable adult. So why, to me, I'm like, why is that guy, that and the business guy, I would be, yeah. I'd be voting for every time. And she tries to, he goes like, hey, kid, do you get all A's?
What?
And the one-armed man's like, what, her report card is how we decide if we are going to kill this child?
Oh,
what are
God.
You talking about? Allison, unfortunately, the countdown begins again, and it's a three-way tie, because we've got enough where, like, it just depends on whether there's, like, an even or odd
right.
number.
Right, yeah, and it's like every so, time like, someone dies, like, it goes from being able to be split to not being, or to be able to be split by, like, yeah, it
yes,
keeps changing.
Yeah. So it's like, oh, I hadn't thought about that. Like, they could be split three-way because it's a number divided to be split by three. It's the little girl, the guy directly behind the pregnant lady, and the pregnant lady.
Jesus
so the two most vulnerable, and then just some random guy. And as soon as the random guy gets hit by the baby, like, oh, Christ, because you yeah. know it's going to be him.
Yeah.
And he screams, kill them both. Of course,
what?
They vote against. That guy dies. Like, they're not going to, like, you can't scream,
no.
kill them both.
No. Nope.
Have people on board. Craig, who, again, is there with his wife, says, well, what about volunteers? I'm like, okay, good on you, Craig. You will have to be the volunteer. Like, other people are not going to do it unless you do it. And he's like, well, maybe someone wants to step forward. My thing about this, though, is that it only buys you 2 minutes, and it doesn't really seem like we're coming up with a ton of
right,
answers.
That's the thing.
Right. But they're all kind of arguing. And
again,
and finally,
unwinnable seeming. Like
exactly. And finally, there's a teen boy behind the little girl who says, I'll do it. And they're like, oh, you're a kid. You can't do it. And the chemo guy says, well, why do you want to do that? And the businessman says, that's none of your business. Just let him volunteer, because he doesn't want to die. And the teen boy says, they ask him, like, what's your name? It's Sean. And they said, Sean, why do you want to do this? And he says, because I don't want to kill anyone. And I'm like, yeah, that's you know, he shouldn't be, have to be the one, and they should deny him that. Like, they should deny him his volunteerism.
Yeah.
But also, that's true. Like, you're making the ethical decision. Like, I don't want to have to vote for anybody, let alone the pregnant lady or the child. And the one-armed man says, no, you're only 16. We're not going to let you do that. And, of course, the Scott Adams guy, the business, and the Trump are like, if he wants to do it, shut up. Just let him do it. Yeah. He's a hero, okay?
Sure.
If a child wants to die for, you know, America slash this
whatever
alien
this
CIA
is.
Elon Musk experiment. But no, an older black man in the back row says, I volunteer. Don't do this. So he volunteers, and he basically turns to face the void, and he steps out. So that counts. Sacrifice yourself, that counts, and it resets.
I would get nervous, though, that would, like, not count towards, like, the two-minute.
Yes, I me too. When I saw that, I'm like, uh-oh. But luckily, it does.
Okay.
So the countdown stops, he steps out, and they get 2 minutes again. So your sacrifice does count.
Okay.
Because, again, this is some crazy experiment.
Right.
It's like, okay, I guess. You know, like, it's no rules just right up here in the circle. But, again, like, this guy dies. And the businessman and Scott Adams are, like, really on board with the volunteer idea. But, of course, the one-armed guy says, well, you're not fucking volunteering, are you? Obviously not. And these two, who I described as the disgusting brothers, say to Sean, well, do you still want to volunteer? And Sean says, yeah. And the businessman says, if I get out of here, I'm naming my next kid after you. And then Sean turns, and they say, thank you, Scott. And then he's zapped and he dies. And so it's like they don't even remember his name.
Yeah.
Like, he's nothing to them.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a sad little detail. Allison, we're dwindling.
Yeah.
Right? We're getting,
right.
I think we're under 20 at this point. Yeah, we're moving. Everyone then turns to look at the army guy. Because it's like, listen, no offense, but you signed up to die for your country if you
right.
want to. But we really, you know, obviously you volunteered to do this. Maybe you can volunteer to this.
Yeah.
He says, nope, I was in Afghanistan keeping you all safe. That's not what we were doing in Afghanistan.
Nope, we were
okay, brother.
Killing innocent people for
yeah, we were doing
no
all
reason.
Sorts of crazy
yeah.
business over there. Not that we support the Taliban. Again,
no.
Bad all the way down,
just,
obviously.
Yeah.
Please don't report to anyone that we support the Taliban. He says, I have a 7-month-old that I have never met because my wife had him when I was deployed. I am going to see my family. I am not fucking dying in this room. And the chemo lady says, like, okay, I'm not going to vote for you. Allison, I guess, like, 50-year-old Latina woman volunteers from the back row. And she says,
"My son, Oscar, he's passed away last year.
You'll see him again.
You think?
Absolutely."
And she goes, "Okay, then I'll go in peace." And she gets an exit line, and I love when she turns to everyone, and she goes, "Bye, everyone." And everyone says, "Bye." And then she gets zapped and she dies.
Oh.
Or she's, sorry, she steps out and she dies.
Okay.
So, but I did like that she had said, "Bye, everyone."
Bye,
I was
everyone.
Like, oh.
Yeah.
So, and the blonde guy then starts immediately antagonizing the guy who's like, "Well, you know, God really sees your sacrifice." And everyone's like, "He was just trying to be nice. Like, what do you, give her a fucking break. Like, I mean, he was just trying to be like, I understand why you're doing this." And also the guy in the blue shirt's like, "Well, I'm a minister. I do believe that. I believe that she made this choice and like, it's an impossible choice, but like God sees that it was, that she had to do it." And Blunt's like, the guy's like, "Oh, like God's in charge." I'm like, I'm agnostic. I would say agnostic, bordering on atheist. I'm not going to be bringing it up in this space. For what reason?
Yeah.
Like antagonizing religious people right now? Like,
no.
You're all in some sort of crazy alien hell.
You're,
like, what are you talking about?
You're outside of the reality that, like, any logic or, like, social norms
means
anything in.
The minister does make a mistake where he's like, "Well, I believe that God is watching all of us, and I think he has a plan." The black guy's like, "What's his plan? We're in this fucking circle.
Yeah.
If it's a plan,
what's
it's a bad one."
Plan?
It's like, that's fair. That's absolutely true. And he points to the glossy black dome circle in the center. He's like, "That's our God now. The real God doesn't give a shit about us. How do we ask our new God who's going to die next?" And Craig pipes up. He's like, "Well, you know, 95% of people believe in God." And the blonde man says, "Well, 95% of people are idiots." I was like, okay, so you're trying to die at that point.
Right.
Like,
it's like just those, like that ratio alone is going to put you at odds with the rest of the group.
Yeah, and just also you're screaming and antagonistic, and it's like, it's not anyone's fault, you know, that this is happening. And the countdown returns, Allison, and we see it's a tie. It is a beam over the blonde man screaming about God and a random lady in the back row. And he's like, "You fuckers are going to kill me because you know I'm right." It's like, it's really not that deep. It's either you or a random woman who has said nothing.
Yeah.
So it's like, you're being an asshole, so you're drawing attention, but they're not going to kill you because you're an atheist. They just kill you because you are somebody in the room, right? They vote again, and they vote for the woman who dies. And they're like, "Wow, it looks like God cut you a break, dude." And he said, "Yeah, for another 2 minutes."
Yeah, that's the thing.
We then see the blonde aggressive man, turns on the blonde woman with the skin-tight khaki blazer. And he's like, "You look really familiar. Don't I know you from somewhere?" She's like, "I don't think so." He says, "Oh, you're an actress, Stacy something." She says, "My name is Christina, and I'm not an actress." He's like, "Oh, right, actress, porn star, big difference. I'm a huge fan." She's like, "I think you're mistaking me for someone else." He says, no, I'm trying to pay you a compliment." He's obviously not doing that. He's trying to drum up hatred
for
her
as a
porn actress.
Fucking porn star, you know.
Exactly, you know.
And make them turn on her. It's like,
exactly.
Well, she's doing work that people actually enjoy.
"Yeah, sir, what do you do with your time?" He's like, "You know, I liked you better before your enhancements. You know, who paid for them?" And
Jesus,
she's like...
Christ.
He basically tricks her into having a conversation about her life, which you just shouldn't even get into.
No, I would be like fully mute and then step off the ring and kill myself.
Exactly, yeah. And she's like, "No, my boss bought them, but like he's not just my boss. David, he is obviously like she's having an affair with her boss."
Yeah.
And he's like, "Oh, I see. Like you thought, oh, if I get these double D's, David would leave his wife and kids for me. Is that what you thought?" And I wrote, "This guy's got to go." And he starts screaming at her, like, "Do you think you were going to run away, seduce him?" You know, and meanwhile, she's sobbing, just sort of like, there's nothing you could do. And, of course, the countdown comes in, and the blonde man, of course, looks around the circle, and his face falls. He realizes he fucked up.
Time to go.
And in the end, God strikes the blonde man. In the end, God strikes the blonde man down. The Scott Adams guy says, "I think we should take into account whether people have families. I have 7 children." It's like, okay, well, sure.
Well, also, there's like no way to prove it.
Yes, exactly. And everyone goes around like, "Oh, yeah, I got 12 kids. I got 26 kids." Like, how are you going to fucking prove I don't have children? Craig's wife says, "We have a 3-year-old. Her name is Emily." And the Scott Adams guy says, "If you don't have kids, you should volunteer." And this businessman turns on the woman with the pixie cut who made the snide remark about the pregnant woman. It was like, "What about you? Do you have a kid?" And she says, "I have a daughter." And he says, what does your husband do?" And she stammers like, And again, I was like, it's 2015. She would just say she's a lesbian. But she is. She's a huge lesbo. And she says, "Well, what about you?" He says, "I have 2 boys and an 18-month-old baby daughter." The countdown begins and one of the younger people, a younger woman, is killed. And the businessman keeps hammering on pixie cut. And she's like, I raised my four younger siblings during my father's heroin addiction, my mother's clinical depression. I got a scholarship to Vassar. I did the Peace Corps in Nepal. And I've worked in a nonprofit ever since. I am a good person. And I have, like, taken care of people and done good things. He's like, yeah, but what does your husband do? And it's like, yes, of course. The most important thing that any woman has to answer.
What does her husband do?
Yeah. She says, I don't have a husband. I have a wife. And he goes, oh, so you're a lesbian. Yes, it is funny. Sir. It's like, we take for granted how recently gay marriage has passed.
I know.
Because this guy's reaction to her being lesbian is like it's from the 80s.
Yes.
And the one-armed guy's like, who cares if she's gay? It doesn't matter. And again, it's like, hey, it's LA. Like, we're past this, you know? And he says, you think it's okay for a child to be brought up by two moms? And again, I think we're past this point, I hope, in history where we know more. It's attachment theory and family systems. It's not really about the biological sex. And so we see the backwards hat guy and ethical brunette are like, it's not 1950. We don't have to have this argument. We're not going to pick off the gay people. And the businessman says, you think it's okay to raise a baby girl in that environment? Two gay moms having sex all over the place? It's not as bad as two men, but it's still wrong. And again, I just feel like this is what conservatives think. They're just thinking it with one hand most of the time. And he says to her, maybe it's a good thing you're here. Because then that your little girl could have a chance at a normal life.
Oh, my God. Kill this guy.
Yeah, I wrote, kill him now. And the army guy says, so where are we going with this, sir? Like, what's the plan? He's like, I know that a lot of you are religious, okay? And this is a country based on family values. This is actually a country based on colonialism.
Yeah, and white supremacy.
Murder and slavery and rape. So I don't know where you're getting that from, my friend. And he says, this woman has sinned. Of course, when our man points out, he's like, well, we've all sinned. He's like, yeah, but some of us more than others. Again, we were in political realm, and now it's religion. It's like, yes.
Weird religious morality that is.
Yeah, like, okay, but I sinned less. She should go to hell and die, and she should be chosen, you know? And basically, like, maybe that's what the aliens want, to find the sinners in our midst. And we get the best line from the lesbian. She goes,
so aliens want me to die. Because I'm gay.
Which is, I guess, basically what traditional religion is. Where it's like, alien, we call God.
The belief.
Yeah, unfortunately. Allison, the countdown comes, and she looks around the room, and nobody's making eye contact. She's like, you fucking cowards. Finally, we see the zap. It's the businessman that is killed. Great. Again, overplaying your hand. You know, even if there are people who agree with you, there's not enough. And also, those people are like, well, I don't want that guy who is willing to turn on anybody.
To turn on me next.
Exactly. To find something in me, some sin in me. Then we see the black man in the back row, the one who was having an affair, said, well, you know, my son's gay and there's not a damn thing wrong with him. Craig says, well, what if he had a point? And they go, drop it, Craig. And he says, no, not about the gay stuff. But what if they want us to kill one person in particular? What if that's like, what if we're misunderstanding this?
Oh, they, like the people who made the
collective. What if we're supposed to find somebody here that is evil or villain and that we're supposed to figure that out and kill them?
Like those people are a bunch of assholes are already dead, so.
Yeah. And again, the guy with the long, beautiful blonde hair says, okay, but again, what happens when it comes down to two people? Would they both die? Would they both live? And the man in black says, if it comes down to one of us or one of them, meaning the girl and the pregnant woman, that person. So it's like, if let's say the pregnant woman gets killed, it's me and the child. I have to sacrifice myself.
Yes.
You have to be willing to. Like, there's no other way around this. You have to be willing to make the ethical decision at the end. And everyone's like, I don't know about all that. You know, again, like, there's still, people are unaccepting of this. Everyone thinks, like, well, maybe I'll survive, right? And basically, the black guy who pointed out the racism is like, of course you would. Yeah, we all believe that. Thinking, of course, like, you could say that, but at the end, if it's only two of you, we won't know what you'll do. Like, you can make this lie to benefit yourself. But again, it's like, none of them can know what anyone is doing. You know what I mean? And then Christina says, well, what if it comes down to the girl and the pregnant woman? They'd have to vote for each other, ostensibly. Or the pregnant woman would vote for the kid and, like, manipulate her, you know? But they said that the black woman in the blazer says, that's their decision. Like, if we're dead, then we can't take that on. I'm not taking that on.
It's true. You really can't. Yeah. Like, you can only be in charge of, like, what you can do.
Yeah. Alice says, the countdown's still coming.
Oh, man.
And we're back to an even number. It is a tie. And there's a light falling on just the people who are talking most recently, the black man and the black woman who are having an affair.
Yeah.
And they stare at each other across the circle. And he says, you never should have married that asshole.
Aww.
And she says, I know. And he says, together, Allison, they both die.
Oh.
And I believe it's because nobody voted. And so I think, like, they both end up getting killed. Because I couldn't figure it out, but based on context clues, I think nobody voted, and they just both were killed then. Or not, but I don't know. So
well, they're both dead now.
The group returns once again to the question of the girl and the pregnant lady. And the Scott Adams and the long-haired guy are amped up that they, meaning the group, should get to decide, right? Like, it is our collective decision. It's not fair that we just default to them surviving. It's too much pressure to put on a child to make these kinds of decisions anyways. And so the ethical team's like, so what? So we kill the pregnant lady? And the guy with long hair says, I'm not saying which one, what we do. I'm just saying we just do what needs to be done.
Okay.
Allison, who will survive this movie?
Who will survive?
And I'm going to tell you this, because I don't think, it's not going to spoil anything. Yeah. One person survives.
Okay. I'm going to guess it's the child that survives and everybody else dies.
Okay, great. And do you think the pregnant one has to make a decision? Do you think anyone has to make a hard ethical decision at the end? Or is it just sort of like, by the time we get there,
it's like there's really only one. There won't be decisions to be made so much as like a truth that everybody has kind of accepted.
Great. Love it. Craig says, okay, if we had to choose, who would it be? Allison, if you had to choose between the little girl and the pregnant woman, who would you choose to kill?
I guess the pregnant woman?
I guess me too. I was like, it just feels like killing a child.
I don't
think
I could choose
like
to kill a child. And, you know, I have plenty of thoughts on...
I feel really bad.
On, you know, when pregnancy is a person and that's birth. So
right. Yeah. Right.
It's not child versus child in that way to me.
Right. If only the fetus could vote, then we'd be really talking. And so we see the Scott Adams guy goes to the pregnant lady. What do you do for work? And again, it's
who
like, what are you
shit?
Doing? It's going to be, it's like based on her resume, we're going to decide this pregnant woman gets to survive.
Right. She's probably like a consultant. Like,
yeah, he's like, no, I'm just saying that some people contribute more to society than others. He's like, okay,
you think
so again,
there's a society on the outside of this that you just go back to and continue? Like,
yeah.
You were all fleeing LA for some reason.
Yeah, and also it's like, okay, I guess if she's like a billionaire oil magnate or like something, then I suppose she could be the worst in society. But if it's just like, oh, she has the wrong kind of job, like that's not going to cut it. And he says, well, I'm just saying the world has enough single moms on welfare. And he says this to him, he's like, do you even know
she's single? Like,
I have no idea. He says, well, would you even know who your baby daddy is? Are you married? She's like, well, not married. We're just waiting. I'm assuming until they have the kid. And he's like, why? Waiting for him to get out of prison? Allison, the countdown comes back, and the backwards hat guy, who I did like, finally gets zapped.
All right.
As our numbers start to dwindle. And the group says, like, okay, well, Scott Adams, what the fuck do you do? He says, I work at a bank. And they're like, oh, a bank. Oh, you really help society. He's like, I work in the department where we lend people money to start their businesses. I work my ass off every day, and I never take handouts.
Oh, God.
And he asks the ethical brunette, what do you do? And she says she's a PhD student. She's getting a PhD in psychology. He says, well, that's useless. And then he talks to the one-armed man. What do you do? Collect disability checks? Because everyone goes, whoa. And the lesbian says, dude, if you're trying to get people to not vote for you, you are going about it in the complete wrong way.
That's correct.
And he says, I'm just saying we need to come up with some kind of metric here to decide who gets to live to the next round, which again, historically is what being white is.
Yes.
It's like, guys, there has to be a human metric and remember that I'm at the top and I work at a bank. Meanwhile, the ethical brunette has to like translate for the father of three that we met earlier who speaks Spanish. Uh-huh. The countdown returns. The ethical brunette is the next one to get killed.
Oh, no. Why?
She is zapped. I think at this point, like, these Scott Adams and the long-haired guy are picking off the ethical people.
Okay.
So I think they're targeting anyone who they think will sort of fight them on their plan. Yeah. And then they're like, okay, well, we got to just get rid of this Spanish-speaking guy because we can't even hear him anymore.
Yeah.
And people are still like, well, we can't just like, oh, it's a twofer? Like, he's not a person or whatever?
Yeah, right. He's, yeah.
Yeah, and the man in black's like, this is like, obviously, you killed her in order to kill this guy.
Yeah, it's that like, was your plan.
And she was someone who would not have voted for the girl or the pregnant woman. So now they're picking off people who would not vote to kill either of them, if that makes sense. Like, the unethical side is basically, like, targeting the ethical side specifically so that they can eventually kill the girl and the pregnant woman. And the Scott Adams guy goes, you're pregnant, man. Oh, no, sorry. Hang on. the Scott Adams guy says, "You're paranoid, man." It's like, paranoid? He's accurately describing this insane experiment.
Paranoia is a fear of something that isn't action, conspiracies and events that aren't actually happening. This is happening.
Yeah. And the man in black says, "We have to, on our side, decide to stop you. I'm not going to let you do this. They have to be the last two." And he says, "Who's on my side?" And it's like, okay, the pregnant lady and the kid are on my side. Who else wants to join me? And there's 16 people left, right? And he's like, "We need 6 people to get to 9. If there's 9 of us, we could block their plan." So the army soldier, the chemo lady, and the one-armed guy say, "Okay, we're with you." Again, that's not enough. Right. The countdown begins again. And also now at this point, people are starting to like panic. So I think people are just like making decisions out of hand because they're like, I don't know who to listen to. And Scott Adam says, "Nobody vote for the girl or the pregnant lady this time. We're all voting for the guy who can't speak English." And they're like, "Well, you can't vote for him because he can't speak English." And we see 2 beams up here, 8 and 8. It is divided. It is the Spanish-speaking guy and the little girl. So there's still enough people who are willing to kill the girl and the pregnant lady to, like, take them out of the equation. And Scott Adams turns, he screams in the room. He's like, "You know what needs to be done. Vote for the little girl." The Spanish-speaking guy, he doesn't speak English, but he knows enough to know what's going on. He steps backwards out of his circle, killing himself. Right, so it's like he did the ethical thing. He sacrificed himself for the child. And the army guy's screaming at Scott Adams. He's like, what is wrong with you? And Scott's like, "Oh, it's wrong to want to live." He's like, "I would not do that, okay? I'm not like you." And the Scott Adams guy's like, "Fine, let's go. I say we kill both of them, starting with that kid." It's like, yes, we know that you want to kill both of them.
You want to kill the kid. We get it.
You're making me do it. It's like, no, you've been talking about doing it.
You
want
to kill a child.
Maybe you've been like a little cagey about it, but like, you know, he's like, this is the only thing that gives any of the rest of us an opportunity to be the last person standing. Yeah. If you don't kill them, then you're already dead, which is true. I think like that's a fair point, but also it still, again, is unethical. And he's trying to manipulate all of them. Like Scott Adams says to Craig, like, "You love your wife, don't you? Be on our side." The countdown begins again. The evil side says, "Vote for the kid." The ethical side says, "Vote for Scott Adams. Vote for the glasses guy. Fuck this guy." Which I can't even believe he's still there. Because I was like, I'd be voting for him every fucking round.
Other people haven't been like, let's get rid of this guy.
Allison, the room is divided. The vote is divided again. It is Scott Adams and the child, who is again sobbing and screaming. And the black guy who voted out the racism and the long-haired white guy say, "Let's vote a tie," and then they both die. So basically, like, if we split the vote, they will both die. Uh-huh. And Scott Adams is like, "I can't believe you do something like that." It's like, wow. How would you not
you
believe it?
You can't believe that?
What did you think was going to happen? Like, you were not a protected class, but I guess that, again, that's the analogy you're going for, is that he thought he was. In the end, they only kill Scott Adams. So the little girl survives again. And so, which means somebody switched their vote. So trying to figure out, like, who switched their vote. It's like, well, I think a lot of people are probably going to be switching their votes up a lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, from here on out. I also, like, I just wouldn't be able to vote for the child.
Yeah. And so they see Craig's wife is sobbing and they say, "You switched the vote." She's like, "I didn't switch my vote. I just didn't vote the second time because I just can't do it. I was like, I can't do this anymore." They're all arguing. And the one-armed guy says, like, "We're all going to die here. Like, the least we could do is just try to get out of here with some fucking dignity." Yes. And maybe if it's their last two, maybe they both get to live. We don't know the rules, right?
Right.
And he's like, and Craig says, "I don't believe it. I think you're going to try to kill the kid so the pregnant woman and her child can live." And I was like, that's interesting that we haven't heard anyone bring up her unborn child, because it is kind of a 2-for-1 special if you let the pregnant live, if you're of the belief that that is a child, right? So then it's like a child versus a woman and a child. The long-haired man's like, "Everyone vote for the one-armed man. Anyone who's on the side evil, vote for him. That'll even things out. We'll be back to business." Which at this point, I'm like, I don't know how any of you think this is going to work out, because everyone's
clearly,
just dying.
There's just no way around stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Allison, they vote him out. He is zapped. And the chemo lady goes, "Oh my God, what does that mean?" And the black guy who pointed out that racism says, "It means the tables have turned, bitch." Because his point of view is that we're all equal. Mm-hmm. Including the girl and the pregnant lady.
Yeah.
So his idea of equality is like, no, there's no, we're not deferring to them, but we're not weighing the scale or anything.
Yeah.
And the bearded man, the long-haired man says, people are starting to see clearly, they're seeing it on our side. They decide collectively, Team Evil, decide G.I. Joe is next, the army guy. And they gloat that now they have the majority. Again, I don't know why you're so confident. People are just going to be changing their votes from here on out.
Yeah,
it's like, they're just panicking.
Like, yeah, there is no, and everything's happening so quickly.
Yeah.
There's no assurances.
And the army guy says, and he makes an unethical decision. He's like, fine, then we'll pick Craig's wife. And because he knows that Craig's will switch. So Craig will switch sides. So he's basically like, we'll pick your wife unless you switch sides. And Chris will go, well, fuck it. I'll switch your side. Fine. Just at the last second. And then the army guy screams, everybody vote for the black guy. The guy who pointed out the racism. And, and he goes, oh, and he's zapped and he's killed.
Jesus Christ.
And the long-haired guy yells at Craig. He's like, I hope you're happy. Now your wife is going to die because of you. If anyone thinks that they're not going to die, they are wrong. That's insane.
Yes, you're all going to die.
And if somehow somebody escapes, it will be a fluke. It is something you cannot guarantee. Again, even if one person or two were to survive, we don't know who's running this. They're not letting you
And
out.
You don't know what's going to happen even if you survive.
No, exactly.
Like, it might be like a torture round is next or something.
You're just put into a basement and tortured for the rest of your life. You have no idea what's going on. And then the long-haired guy says, wait a minute. I bet you two aren't even married. Think about it. Why would they be put in here together right next to each other? Maybe they made it up to survive. And I was like, we got to wrap it up. We're down to 12. We got to wrap it up, guys. Let's do this. And he starts asking them questions like, how long have you been married? What's your parents' name? And they're both answering. It's like, you have no way of verifying this.
Right.
So they're just like,
yeah.
You know, like they're just naming things. And but then the longer he goes, the more people are like on his side. And they're intrigued. And Christina says, you know, what's his birthday? April 9th. And finally, the lesbian says, what's his name? We know it because it was said once the first time that he spoke. And she blanches because she doesn't know.
Yeah.
And he says, she says, what? Craig says, who cares? She's not playing your games. Don't tell them anything. And Craig says, you know, of course she knows. And the long-haired guy says, let's put it to a tie. Okay, let's. It's between two of them, right? And as they're voting, Craig goes, it was a lie. She came up with it. Kill the bitch. Allison, you won't believe it. The group zaps Craig. You can't scream kill the bitch and not think that people are going to zap you.
Good. Well, you really showed his hand there at the end.
Yeah. The long-haired man says, you know, tell it to his wife or faux wife. I promise you, join our side. I'll keep you alive. I don't know why you can't promise that.
Yeah, there are no promises. There are no guarantees in the circle.
Right. And even that was true now. Once you get down to six people, to me, it's like the vote.
Everybody's front for themselves.
Yeah. There is one older man in the outer circle who has not uttered one word, and he still doesn't. And long haired guy is trying to get him on his side. He's like, okay, I guess he can't talk or something. He gets the lesbian on his side, a weak lesbian if I ever heard one, by manipulating her about her wanting to see her kid again, basically.
Well, that's, you know.
Yeah. So then it's like we basically get because there's so few people, we get a four way tie. Right.
Okay.
So we're down to eight, I guess. So then everyone gets two votes, right? So it's chemo lady, army guy, lesbian, and Christina Stacy, the undercover porn star, all have beams of light on them. Allison, they all get zapped and die. The long-haired man then starts rallying votes to kill the girl, and he asks the pregnant woman, do you want to ever learn the sex of your baby? She says, I don't know it, but I would like to know. So basically trying to manipulate her to vote for the little girl.
Yes, of course.
Again, the man in black says, once again, I am not voting for the little girl or the pregnant woman. You can't make me do it. I'm not going to do it. And the minister who's still alive says, God forgive me. So you think he's going to vote for them, but instead he steps out killing himself. However, now the long-haired man is laughing. He's like, see, it's 3-3. You know, there's no way you could protect them now. And it's like, well, bitch, no one can protect you.
No one is protected.
Right, and now you're like the old last maniac standing. Like you're just, again, drawing attention. Why wouldn't they all vote for you? It makes no sense. But again, the man in black is not going to kill them, but he has an idea. This idea is kind of confusing, so here's how I'll explain it. It's basically like, we're going to vote for the phony wife. You guys can vote for the kid. You get the silent guy. And the long-haired man says, well, how can I know I can trust you? He's like, because we'll vote in order. So basically, if we all vote, like the three of us vote for the same person, the beam will appear right away. Yeah. Or no, if four of us vote for the same person, the beam will appear. So you don't have to trust us. You just have to watch. And they go around, they give the silent guy, and he refuses to vote. So he's fucking it up again, which is what you're supposed to do. If you don't vote, fucks the whole system. And the long-haired guy's like, whoa, what are you doing? The fake wife, Craig's face wife, gets zapped.
Okay.
And the long-haired man's like, why didn't you vote? You fucked up my whole system. And the man in black says, he has never voted. I've been watching him. He has not voted the entire time. So every time you're trying to do this calculus, this motherfucker was not voting. So I knew
when
I set this up.
There's a ton of people, it's irrelevant. But when we're down to like five or six.
Yeah. And he's like, that was just dumb luck. He's like, or maybe that's the reason he's alive. He didn't say anything. He played this game correctly. And long-haired guy's like, well, so you mean if he gets to live if he didn't vote? And the Man in Black's like, maybe that's the point. Maybe that's what they're trying to teach us. Is that, or like, that's the point of the experiment. Is like, he's going to live because he didn't vote. He didn't engage at all. And Long-Eared Man's like, I don't believe it, you know, whatever. Unfortunately, whether he believes it or not, the countdown is beginning again. They all vote except for the Silent Man. And of course, they vote the long-haired guy and he's zapped and he dies. So we are left with the Silent Man, who has not voted the entire time, the Man in Black, the girl, and the pregnant lady. And the pregnant lady says to the silent guy, do you want us to vote for you? And the Man in Black says, he knows we don't have a choice. And the countdown hits, the Silent Man is zapped.
Yeah.
Which I think is like, he just chose that. He's like,
I'm not going to vote. I never voted. I know I'm going to die. And then when people decide to vote for me, they'll vote for me.
Yeah. So it leaves the Man in Black, the girl, and the pregnant lady. And the pregnant lady, of course, we have to have this moment of like, why are they doing this to us? And it gives like the most like 101 conversation about this. Where he's like, maybe it's an experiment to see who we would choose and why and what they could learn from that. And she's like, learn what? For what? Which is also how I feel about all of these kinds of movies. Like, they're going to learn about human nature. If you don't know, you're bad.
Like, all around the world. And
look at anything. Yeah, exactly. Like, you don't have to do this kind of stuff. And she says, well, what reason? It's like, I don't know, to understand us, our values, what we want. What matters to us? And I was like, here, I was hoping the aliens are smarter than us and could just look at history, but I guess we're not smart either, so. And she says, by making us kill one another, and he says, you know, when we kill someone, we're judging them. We say there's something wrong with them. That's what they're interested in knowing. Boo! Lame. I don't like the aliens. Or CIA or Elon Musk. He says, I don't know exactly how it's going to play out, but when I'm gone, one of you will have to step forward to die. And the little girl says, I'll do it. So little girl has said, I will, and the Man in Black says, what's your name? It's Katie. He's like, Katie, let's step out together. So we don't even have to have a vote. We'll just do it. Allison, we hear the countdown. Katie steps forward, just as the black man votes for the last time for the pregnant woman. So Katie steps out just as he votes to kill the pregnant woman. And so both of them hit the ground dead, leaving him the last man standing, the Man in Black. The man who said, I will never vote for either of them. Because this was his plan all along, to get to be the last three and essentially trick the little girl to killing herself and vote for the pregnant woman. And we hear one more countdown. He's like, I should have known. There was no escape, huh? It's like, well, now you know. We're all assholes. We're all horrible people. Allison, two beams of light appear, and it's him, and it's the pregnant woman's still living fetus. And we hear the heartbeat. So we're counting the fetus as a person. It's the last two. And he starts laughing, but he's allowed to vote. And he votes, darkness falls. And we see the Man in Black awakening in the beautiful concrete paved LA River. And he looks up and we see these circular saucers, aliens hovering over the river. And we see three in the distance. So obviously they're picking up different pockets of people. And as he walks through the underpass towards a group of people, survivors, we hear his sort of monologue from the circle. We say, you know, this is a game of elimination. And when he finds the group of people, there's some men, but it's mostly children and pregnant women, because most people actually ethically did what they made the same decision that he lied and said he was going to do, which is that they let the children and the pregnant women from their group live. And he joins them and they all just look up at one of the saucers floating overhead. And we hear him say, which he said to the pregnant woman and the girl, you're going to have to decide for yourselves. I can't decide you. It has to end this way, but we don't have much time. The end. Circle.
Huh.
Yeah, I was like, I liked it by the end.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, yeah. All right.
But yeah, he was pretending to be ethical in order that he could kill the child and the pregnant woman and escape into a world in which he and... I presume, maybe not everyone else would know, but like
he knows
that he's evil. Yeah. What are some fatal mistakes you think were made in Circle, Allison?
Fatal mistakes.
Well, I mean, it seems like no matter what, there was just going to be one person that survives. So like everybody, I mean, I guess him being evil is not a fatal mistake because he's alive. Everybody else... being lesser or not evil, I guess, is how they ended up dead.
You got me there.
I don't love that message.
You're right. Is it a fatal mistake ethically? Yes, but it's not a fatal mistake in terms of surviving the circle.
I would say it seems like perhaps living in Los Angeles was a big part of getting scooped up by these aliens.
Yeah.
And now, you know, I'm sure it's happening all over the world, but and we just zeroed in on this group, but yeah.
And I do like that it's like, it seems like it is just an experiment because it's not like he's going to be punished for doing something unethical. He's just going to return.
Now he's just like in LA.
And isn't that the alien hell that we're all confined to?
Like 1 in 50 people has survived.
Yeah. And a lot of them are, it seems like.
That would make LA a little more tolerable.
Hey-o. It does feel like a lot of them are kids and pregnant women. So, but yes. I guess, you know, again, it's like you just hope that this guy would then be able to help build a world for the survivors.
Yes. Learn
which
from.
Which we don't know if that's the case at all.
I don't have like super high hopes for him based on the performance we've seen.
Well, and then finally, where would you put Circle on the spooky scale, Allison?
A spooky scale.
I think that this is a 4.
Ooh, okay.
I think like the timer element of it and the inevitability and just seeing like, oh, nothing will like, and like by the end when you're like, oh, it really was just everyone except for one person was going to survive and it is a fucking game. And I think this, the scariness of, you know, specifically American, but I think in general human nature to, you know, point to others and other people and create systems of morality that are based on, you know, white supremacy and misogyny is scary. But I don't feel like the deaths themselves were that scary.
Yeah, that's true. If it was gorier or something more horrific.
If it was like bloodier or like
a Saw situation.
Yeah. If people people volunteering themselves was just stepping off a circle and getting electrocuted. Like, if it was a little more like you have to stab your own stomach or something, like, then
now
it would be higher.
Now we're talking, Allison.
But I think because it was more just kind of like in like psychologically scary. So I think a 4. What about you?
I'm going to give it a 2. I just feel like I enjoyed it. But once we leave the realm of reality, and this is like, even if it had been the CIA or again, some billionaires playthings.
Right.
We're outside of our normal reality.
Yes.
And I agree. If the deaths had been gorier and more realistic, I think it would have been scary. But I thought this is like, again, this is like a long Twilight Zone episode. I think this could have been about an hour. I think like it was 87 minutes and I think we probably could have tucked it in a little bit, but I still enjoyed it. And I like this kind of the ethical quandary.
Yeah.
Yes. It's like our desire to create hierarchy and a hierarchy that always places us at the top, and all we could do is to be willing in those moments to say, I'm just going to go ahead and step right off the circle. I can't be involved in this whatsoever. And so, you know, that's what we'd be doing. And also, you don't have to hear all the chit chat. Obviously, we did.
Yeah.
So with that in mind, thank you so much for joining us for another episode in Shapes Month.
Yes, we'll continue on with more shapes.
Maybe some of the same shapes, depending on what movies I want to watch.
Yeah, we got to see what's out there. We agreed to this before, I think, doing
any
research.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well.
Thank you.
On that note.
And
thank you.
Please.
Keep it spooky.
Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Ruin Podcast, or join us at patreon.com/ruinpodcast for exclusive episodes and video content.
Ruin is a Radio Point production with executive producers Alex Bach, Sabrina Fonfetter, Dan Powell, and Houston Snyder.
Recorded and edited by Kat Iosa and Olivia Posner.